Okay, hello Jonah.
Hello Connor.
This is episode 16 of Album Check, and we're talking about the Kero Kero Bonito album, Time and Time and Place. There's no and.
Yeah, Time and Place. Is there a reason you suggested this album? Like a specific one?
Not really. I don't know why. I think I like listened to it like the day before we recorded the last episode. And I was like, damn, this album, I forgot about this one. It's really good. We should talk about it. And it's interesting because I'm not that into their first two projects.
Really? I think they're good.
Yeah. Is it, what do you, I forgot what you call them now. It's like Bonito Generation and...
Yeah. Civilization, or is that the EP?
That's the EP. Yeah, either way, I'm not really into that. It's not bad by any kind of objective or measurable thing. It's just not for me.
Mm.
Well, this album's a little bit of a departure from that. It's more guitar-y, more rocky. It's more
sad. there's weird sad bits on it.
It's weird. I'm getting a lot of sort of parallels to After Laughter, the Paramore album we talked about a few weeks ago.
Mm.
And when listening to this, I kind of keep thinking about both of them.
I wouldn't say it's like a one-to-one comparison, because this has more sort of optimism shining through than After Laughter, but I can completely see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, I mean, I believe, for just some context for this, there is some sadness behind it. The lead singer had a budgie or a bird.
Yeah.
And it died,
mm-hmm.
as all of us do. And
thanks, Connor.
and that inspired some of the album. And they also said, they're like, after our last one, we just went, fuck it. We want to do whatever we, I think it was quotes, we want to do whatever we fucking want, which I find quite amusing. And that's what they did. And they start with Outside, which sounds like the beginning like of a show. It gets, again, very different from the kind of poppy kind of Japanese inspired stuff of like the last two projects. That's just kind of completely abandoned almost. And it's like some shoegaze to it, you know. It's like distorted guitar. It's great.
Yeah, it's like whining and really powerful.
Yeah, and it's nice that there's like such a heaviness to it when it's like a song about being outside.
And it just like that with the, obviously her vocals, they're still very much in that J-pop style. Mm. So it feels very eclectic in that sense.
Yeah, because she has this very kind of sweet, soft voice.
Mm.
And so when it was put against this kind of distortion, the harshness of it, it's just really interesting blend.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's not really much to say about the first track. It's very short. It's just kind of, it's less than 2 minutes. It's very in and out.
Yeah.
But I love that about it.
I think this is a really nice track. Like, I love songs that just take a very simple idea and just sort of stretch them out. Because this song is just literally about the sensation of being out in the rain.
Mm.
I really like that. I think that's super nice. Even if there's not a lot to digest there, it's just the way they approach it is cool, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it really sums up this album. It's a lot of very kind of simple ideas to kind of explore in interesting ways.
Yeah, the writing on this album is really good.
Yeah, it's really different as well. I mean, we'll get into it, but it's not kind of what you'd think of as like typical good writing. But yeah, just to end this track, like some of those guitar and drum hits at the end make it sound like a boss battle in a video game. to me, it does sort of feel like video gamey, this album, at times. I don't know if you got that.
Yes, I can see that. I don't think I had that written down, but yeah, for sure.
I think partly because there is a real childlike element to a lot of stuff.
And there's a lot of synths, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're getting ahead. Let's just get straight into the second song where it really starts, Time Today, which I love so much. I love how this song feels. It seems really about like, oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do all this shit. I don't have work or other obligations, so I'm going to do the things that I want to do. Let's make the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the day, you're like, oh, I was a little more optimistic about what I was going to do than,
yeah,
it all worked out.
Yeah, that feeling, like, it's kind of like when you wake up early and you're just like, today's my day, I'm gonna fix everything. And it just, it doesn't generally pan out like that. So again, it's just that they take sort of relatable emotions and sensations, just kind of stretch them out and write about them interestingly, which I really like.
And they do a really good job of making it feel like that kind of punchy drums kind of,
yeah,
be like okay, yeah, we're gonna go do something.
It's that like uplifting 80s vibe, because like 80s music is all, or at least pop, is all so like overbearingly optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of steals from that and reframes it, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, like that line, will I just be sitting around taking a list off? Oh, that's where you kind of end up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. The chorus, like, I think I've got so much time. It's just so sugary sweet. It has that kind of little bouncy, I don't know if it's like a glockenspiel, that really light kind of hits of those notes.
Really bubbly.
Yeah, really bubbly. That's a great term for it. Just sugary sweet. There's a sort of like naivety to it almost, in like a very genuine, childlike way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, again, sums up so much of this album. Uh-huh. Have you seen the music video?
No, I haven't.
It's set in like a psychiatric ward.
Mm, okay.
Which is like really interesting, because there is a sort of like real subtle dark undercurrent to this album, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like there's something not quite right under the surface, or things not...
I'd say it's there, but it's not sort of overbearing. Like, it doesn't feel like a negative album to me.
No.
But it's aware of the negativity, and it makes you aware of it.
Yeah, like, sure. When I'm talking about kind of comparisons to After Laughter, like, After Laughter is about being sad but putting a brave face on it, while this album is, like, being optimistic, but there's just something sort of...
weighing it down a bit.
Underneath, weighing you down.
Yeah. I think probably my favorite lyric from this song is, if the sun ever stays down, will I notice, or will I just be sitting around?
Mm-hmm.
Like that is like that, the sort of thing we're talking about, where there's just this something that's not quite right, not quite okay.
Yeah.
The it's not super, super dark, but it's like, okay, it's not all happy-go-lucky.
The sitting around is interesting, because obviously with phones nowadays, you can just sit and do nothing for ages. I don't know if you could do that in the same way in like the 70s. You know what I mean? Or like the
pre-internet
phone generation. You can't just kind of waste your day doing nothing.
Not in the same way.
You kind of have to go and actively try and do something to entertain yourself.
Yeah, for sure. But that time's long gone.
Even though I know it's bad, I still do it. But
oh yeah, it's impossible not to.
I'm addicted, but what can you do? But yeah, I think this. I love this song. I think it's great. I love how it captures that feeling.
Mm.
And when we get into Only Acting as well, again, the song feels so childlike. Even that kind of that line, I'm a baron, I've got someone to play. Just the delivery of it feels, again, like a child singing it, and just the idea of, like, when you're in, like, the Christmas play or whatever in primary school, and you've just been given a part, and you're like, okay, I'm this, and it all kind of...
It's all-consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one, I get the heavy After Laughter vibes from, because, like, obviously on that album, they speak about having to uphold a persona for the public image, and this is a very similar theme, at least as I read it.
Yeah, it's interesting as well, just the idea of being kind of, you have, like, a public version of yourself, or, like, just being on, like, we're sort of on right now, you know what I mean? Just recording this, they're sort of...
Yeah, amped up
for entertainment and podcasts. It's not entirely real.
So if you think you know us, you don't.
What if there's one person out there, Jonah, who's got sucked into like a parasocial relationship with us? I know them better than anyone else.
Let's hope not. If you have, please don't. Anyway. But I think that, again, I touched on, like, I like the way they approach the different themes and stuff on this. Like, verse 2 is a really cool sort of perspective on it, where they talk about all the environments that they inhabit are temporary as well.
Mm.
Like, they're just there for the show, and then it's over. It's done. Like, the set comes down, mm-hmm. and there's nothing left. That's super, super cool. And it links that into the play theme again. The lyricism is really clever there.
Yeah, no, I hadn't actually really kind of picked up on that, but that's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of just kind of also like living in the moment in this song as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess when you're in there and trying to be present when you're putting something on. And
yeah.
There's a point where it gets really weird as well.
At the end?
Like, well, before that, there's like in the middle, it's like, now I'm going to teach you. It sounds almost like a very like corporate influencer or something.
Yeah.
And then the kind of like scream kind of distorts through.
Yeah, it's like, because it's so easy to feel like, oh, these people, these famous people have it all figured out and stuff. It's like, oh, if you just do what I do, you'll be just as happy as me too. But then on the inside, it's like, oh,
it's all
no.
bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this, again, check out our TikTok. We've got a TikTok. Go check it out. But because of that, I've keep scrolling on TikTok now. There's all these people like, I'm making like 37 grand a year working in my bedroom doing this. You do it this way. And it's like, not all of you are.
Yeah. And most of those people aren't either. If they were doing that, they wouldn't be spending time making TikToks telling other people how to do it. So don't fall for that stuff, kids.
But yeah, but then the end of this gets really weird. It's like a CD skipping.
Super surreal.
Yeah, it's like everything just kind of goes... It goes like right into the key change. You think you're going to get this one big final like push. Excuse mm-hmm. me. Like, oh, here we go. We're going for the final chorus. And then cuts out. There's screaming. It's like malfunctioning. It's like a robot pretending to be human that's sort of just shutting down. Like,
yeah. Yeah, the reversed... I'm not sure if it's the chorus or something, but the lyrics are reversed.
I'm not sure how I feel about this. I think it goes on a little too long.
Maybe, but it makes for a sick transition. Mm. So it doesn't bother me too much.
I saw that they there was a line they had where it was like, we wanted this so you could not put this in a playlist. This is an anti-playlist song. It'll fuck up your playlist.
Mm. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's clever.
Yes, they're annoyed about people just not listening to like albums as a... If you're an artist who spent all this time making an album and having like a concrete thing to be listened to from front to back, and then
people just take the singles and throw them in a playlist,
which is fine.
Like, I think it's fine, but
yeah.
It's easy to see why they get annoyed with it.
But yeah, the rest of the album feels sort of fragile after that moment. Like, oh, this could fall apart or go anywhere at any time.
Mm, yeah, and at least it takes like it has a mood dip.
Mm.
In the middle, for sure.
Yeah, I great song. And we continue straight away into Fly Away, which is just, again, so shoegazy.
Yeah, the energy is absolutely insane.
Yeah, I just love distortion on guitars so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one's about birds flying away.
Uh-huh.
She's following birds fly away. Her bird died, so I guess...
Flying to heaven or
flying
something?
To heaven.
I don't know, man. Look, I tried to look for another layer of meaning to this song, and I could not find it personally. I love the imagery of birds, so I'm still very content listening to this one, and I think the guitar riffs are awesome.
I mean, I really should find out what the actual technique is called, what the term is, but on that, between the second verse and the third verse, when the guitar is playing the notes of the chorus, I love that as a thing. Yeah. It's just so satisfying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's just unison, I think. I don't know. But yeah, no, it's really, really effective.
It's like such a simple trick, but I love it so much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, this is like, it's very sort of childlike and like observational. It's like, This is what I'm seeing happening right now. There's not like deep introspection of like what I'm feeling, whatever. It's just, this is kind of what I'm looking at. It just feels really innocent. It's like a view of the world that you kind of lose as you grow up.
Yeah.
I think growing up is like a kind of big theme on this album.
Definitely. Yeah.
Of kind of things changing.
Leaving the nest.
Well, oh god, yeah. Okay. Yeah, take that. That'll work. But there is a kind of darker thing again at the end of this, on that that final line, like, when I pick up the courage, I hope that I can join you someday. It's like,
not there yet.
If her bird died, is she talking about like killing herself? If I pick up the courage, I can join you someday.
Wow. Okay. You just had to take this to another sad level, didn't you? I didn't even think about that.
Well, then there's the fact that there's like the psychiatric ward in the Time Today music video.
Yeah.
You know, when you kind of link the things,
yeah, put the puzzles that maybe, yeah, that that's very conceivable.
Again, could be nonsense, but
it's fun. Yeah,
fun to speculate. I thought it was worth mentioning. I really like Fly Away again. Yeah. Short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like Dump so much.
Really,
I just feel like this one. Okay, I really love it in like concept. I really love the lyrics and what it's talking about. I just feel like it's sort of sounds very plodding.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
It's just like, okay.
That's fair. I have written down that I love the way this lowers the energy after Fly Away. I think it does it in a very tasteful way. And again, it's that very sort of observational approach to the lyricism about bringing stuff to the dump and how all these things once had value. Like she mentioned the parrot cage and just the fact that they once had value and now are just being chucked away. But yeah, that's a fair criticism, I'd say.
Yeah, actually, I love that in concept, the whole idea of that. Mm. Like, this is something I really valued once and now it's just kind of trash. And I like the way it does it again. Just kind of very observational, but I just can't get quite behind
the sound.
So I you make a good point of how it kind of breaks up quite well in the kind of pace of the album, and I agree with that.
This just isn't the song to do it.
Isn't the song to do it. Even the the opening lyrics, it won't quite come up for me, but it's something like getting to there, like show the man a pass. It's like it feels a little clunkier at the start. And there's parts I like. I do quite like the chorus. That like there's always a busy crowd around, and people come from all over town. It's just quite a amusing way of doing it.
Yeah,
and I really love songs that kind of are able to talk about like mundane stuff or things that you wouldn't be like right. You wouldn't be quick to think I'm going to write a song about a dump today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that sort of perspective, yeah. But I just don't enjoy how it sounds.
It feels grounded.
And you get the natural sound of the dump at the end, and that's kind of nice.
Yeah,
and the stuff being thrown away, and visualize it very easily.
Yeah, the word I used was I love the ambience of this track. Like I just think the synths and the guitar strums sort of set up this very dull, sounds like I'm dissing it, but dull atmosphere, because you know it's a dump.
You're in a queue and you're waiting, and it's mundane.
Yeah, mundane is a better word. Yeah, what's up next though? Make believe.
Oh, this is another great one. I mean, this song again has a morning feel to it for me. Just the start of it sounds like a ringing clock. I think maybe it's just because it's like really quickly oscillating between those two notes. It's almost like,
the
classic alarm clock with like the little hammer between the two bells going back and forth. That's just what my brain goes to. I think as well, just kind of that the opening lyrics, like I set a watch for 5 o'clock, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, help with that as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this seems to be about lucid dreaming.
Yeah, I saw that on Genius. I sort of had trouble picking it up myself.
I think it's that, you know, I know real life will get in between if I never get to decide my reality. At least I see how it could be when I get around to sleeping. Which is really kind of looking forward to not being in the real world. Sorry, we're back. We had some technical difficulties, and I have no idea what I was talking about before we before that happened. But yeah, this song is just so sort of again, this sounds so optimistic, but I feel like the fact that you're like looking forward to not being conscious is quite sad. And that the way that you can only kind of have feel control over your life is when you're in a dream.
It's like I don't know, it's weird because they seem sort of, or she seems sort of thankful that she gets to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a sort of twinge of disappointment when she wakes up and it's not, you know, the world that she created for herself in her head. But
this album just has great, they're great, great, catchy choruses. Mm. You know, to find the time to make believe, like I love that. I love like the feel of it. I love the distorted guitars really come in right after that lose control line. Just that whole thing of the sound reflecting the feeling of what's being said.
Exactly.
I love that stuff so much. Just adds so much to it.
Mm-hmm. On so many I tried to say layers and levels and
at the same time. It just wasn't
all what labels. Let's go with that. What's up next? Dear Future Self.
This might be my favorite song on the album.
Mm, okay.
Again, this is one where the writing is really interesting, I think, because the words don't sound like song lyrics. It doesn't sound like they're written to be sung. You know, it sounds like it's being read from a diary, which is, in many ways, the point of the song.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm looking at it. You are completely right. That is sick. That has to be intentional.
Yeah, definitely. I think so, because it's kind of, the song is about, she's reading back a diary entry that she'd written years ago. It's called Dear Future Self.
Mm.
So it's something she'd written however many years ago for her future to read. And God, there's something so reflective about it. Just that, like that do, that's kind of repeating over and over. Just kind
it's like, I can't tell if it's a chant that's been sort of heavily modified or it's a synth, but it's in that uncanny valley, which I've spoken about on other albums, and I love that.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know either. Again, but that just sounds so reflective to me, and then it's just really interesting how she's like singing this. It just kind of adds a real like life to the kind of the written word.
Mm.
It makes it sound kind of different from the rest of the songs in because it's written differently, and it's that weird thing about growing up and being like, oh my God, this is kind of a sort of a time capsule of the person I was.
Uh-huh. And I love the expression of the childlike curiosity of the, do cars ever fly?
Mm.
Have you ever traveled time? Or is it just the same old thing for you and I? But then there's that really sort of bittersweet lyric of, please don't say you hate the world. I hope that I won't. Like that sends chills down my spine.
There's something like underneath that, you know, like,
yeah,
like whatever she or whoever wrote that is feeling like at that time, there's like something kind of going on that's going like, oh,
yeah. Or
why even saying that, you know, what's
your
thought process at that moment in time?
If she did write it when she was younger, I'd had all this optimism, then like observing the opposite in people who are older can be quite sort of scary.
Mm.
And it's just, oh, it's a really, really freaky line to me.
Was that line I really love, like, I used to be fine because you always seemed so far away, but I feel our past getting closer each day. And just the idea of like, for ages, you're like, oh, the future is ages away.
And then just like that, it's there.
And you're like, oh my God, where'd the time go?
Mm-hmm.
So really scary about that, especially when you sung from the perspective of, oh, the present kind of looking back. She mentions a passport photo on this, and the album cover has like a passport photo on it.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think
maybe
is pretty
neat.
Maybe
the same one.
Yeah. I really like the album cover for this. Again, it feels like primary school, like a... You just got like all this material and you're just kind of throwing shit on it. It's not like...
And it sort of reflects the album because it's so bright and colorful, but then she doesn't look very happy. Speaking of not happy, the next song, Visiting Hours.
I don't know. I don't think this one is like the saddest of them. It's weird as well because Visiting Hours, it's about visiting a hospital. I'm tying it back to the psychiatric ward thing, but I don't know if that's what's really about. I think it's written by not the lead singer, but one of the guitar, one of the other two I don't know the name of,
Jamie and
his dad.
Gus. Yeah,
and again, interesting writing because when you think about hospital, you think really sad or horrible things happen or death, but it's like this is about like the mundaneness of. Visiting at a hospital, like it's kind of fine.
Okay, yeah,
you know what I mean.
They're just asking sort of boring questions, like is the food okay? Did you order the usual or so? Because nothing's happening to the person really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you just kind of have to talk about the boring stuff. But I always get a weird sense of sort of irony from this song.
Mm-hmm.
In that it sounds sort of upbeat, but there's no implication that the person's getting better or anything.
Mm.
And it just feels like this can go on forever and ever and ever. That might just be me reading too much into it, mm-hmm. but I always get that feeling when I listen to this song.
I mean, I guess you could talk about the sense that, you know, when you're growing up and just kind of seeing your parents age.
Mm.
And this is like a real thing. It's like, oh God, they're not looking after you anymore, sort of thing. You're kind of going over to them and checking up. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just the weird sort of darker undercurrent to this, you know, the things underneath the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Musically, the bass line does this, it's like a sliding bass line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they did it, if it's some kind of pitch bend or something, but it's a really cool effect. And the like staggered sort of synth solos are just insane. Really, really like them.
Yep, I don't have much to add. Their song is great.
Hell yeah.
Good song.
If I'd known. It's just one thing, just immediately off the bat, it's nice to hear a real bass line in a very synthetic album. Obviously, there's a fair bit of guitar on this album, but it's just that really caught my ear immediately.
Mm, I mean, they talked about how they really wanted kind of real instruments and stuff. They wanted to make like guitar music and use real drums and stuff for this album. And yeah, it really shines through on this track especially. This one also has a sort of plodding nature to it, but with that kind of slow bass riff. But I don't actually mind it here. In the way I didn't like Dump. This one is about multiple realities, apparently.
Yeah,
you know, that theory.
Thank
where...
you, genius.
that theory where if you every decision you make splits into multiple realities.
Yeah.
Which again, it's like so funny. Because it's such like a big concept when you're like coming off of a song like Visiting Hours, which is about going to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's this real mix between the real kind of grounded mundane and the crazy out there.
This one's a really cool, and I can't tell if it's sort of optimistic or pessimistic, but it's got a cool perspective in that, to me, she's sort of saying it doesn't matter what decision you make, because they're all going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of, I don't know how I feel about that sentiment.
I guess it's kind of, you know, when you're kind of getting older and you actually have decisions that have real impact.
Mm.
It's nice to have something you can go, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So whatever kind of keeps you sane sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's like coping mechanism, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like how crazy the guitar goes on here.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just so like energetic and sort of rips through. One of the other members of the band comes in at the end and does a sort of almost rap thing. Was it just me? Because I thought it was Rex Orange County. Did you get that?
No, it's the one of the other members.
Yeah, but he sounded like Rex Orange County to me.
Is Rex Orange County British? I don't think he is.
I don't know.
But this is a British band, so I don't know.
He's a new album coming out, actually. We should...
Cool.
Hopefully it's good. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird that having that guy at the end, because it's just so... There's nothing else like that on the rest of the album, but I kind of like it. It's just something different. It's sort of more spoken wordy.
Yeah.
It's light, it's fun.
Sort of a bit of a tangent, but I really like when... from what I gather, Sarah is obviously more of a vocalist and the others are doing the music. But I love when they sort of break that boundary, like on Mad Villainy. Sometimes the producer of that album comes on and raps, and it just makes the thing feel really cohesive and makes them feel like a unit, which I really, really like.
It's collaborative.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it makes sense that he kind of comes through in the song about like multiple realities. I'm really kind of spitballing beans here, but like, this is the reality where he's the lead singer of the band.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
It's probably not it, but I don't know. It's just interesting.
Then this next one's my favorite one. I don't even have a lot to say about it. I just really like it.
Oh, it's great. I mean, this one is just so folksy. It's the most kind of acoustic. There's still some electronic elements in here, but they're very much toned.
Buried
right at the back. And it's just like, man, sometimes life sucks, but don't worry, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't even think there is much more to add to it than that. It's just, sonically, this really encapsulates that theme. It's apparently they're recorded it with a bunch of their friends.
Oh, that's so nice.
You can tell everyone's not the greatest singer, but they are having so much fun with it.
You can hear the smile like through the singing.
Yeah,
like you can
completely
hear it.
Yeah, and the like, just the basically the only instrumentation at the start is the guitar and of course the vocals, but then this sort of ensemble comes in later on, which just really elevates it. But this is I've listened to this one a whole bunch of times. It's so good, so hopeful.
Yeah, I just love how like that singing. They didn't like lay down vocal tracks for that. They just got everyone in a room.
Yeah.
With probably just the one microphone that they're all huddled around.
Yeah.
And they're just singing at it.
Maybe even one take, which is even nicer, I think.
Yeah, it just sounds live. It sounds authentic. It's just so nice. Sometimes life is a drag, but get that chin up. Don't be sad. And I like it as well. It's not like, you know, it's not lying about being... you know, everything's going to be okay. It's like, okay, sometimes, you know, you don't know what's... Nobody really knows what's around, around the corner, but it's okay. Everyone gets the blues sometimes.
Someone on Genius says, this is the cutest shit ever in all caps, and I fully agree with them.
Please tell me they have a name like, I don't know, like Raging Boner or something, or something like...
No, shout out Matthias SL. You're a real one, my G.
I like it when you see like wholesome comments on the internet, but they have like horrible names.
Swimming. This one's really, really, really good.
Oh, I mean, this one again. I've said it a million times. Childlike. Mm. The fact that she's literally
talking. It's the voice. Like she sounds like a child. Like straight up.
Mm. And the fact she's talking about like being with her mum as a child at the start of this one. Really.
Yeah.
You know, thingies that
we
need a button that says like ooh or something, because every time I say I like the ooze, It's just awful.
We should have a really beautiful choir come in.
Because I cannot do it justice. But they're great. I think this is a song about kind of keeping your head above the water despite everything kind of going on underneath. That image of like a duck where you see a duck kind of gliding across the water, but it's like really paddling below that.
Yeah, yeah. See, my interpretation of it was sort of similar. Is that like it's relating the experience of learning to swim to growing up and sort of facing life like head on. Like, I squared up to the tide, which is finally like, right, I'm gonna do this thing. I think the really sort of simple guitar chords are fitting, given that sort of theme of growing up. And again, they're really killing it with the super descriptive imagery throughout this whole album, but particularly on this song. And once again, the chorus is just
beautiful.
Beautiful.
Like, I mean, they're so simple. You know, so much the right. It's not like elegant, fancy writing. It's just very kind of almost matter of fact, but it just has such a genuine, natural way that it really works.
I think
something to it.
That requires real skill, though. Like, I even though like this album seems like it childlike, I could not even fathom writing this. Is like so specific in the way it sort of describes things.
Deceptively simple.
Yeah, exactly. Deceptively simple. I think this would be a really, really challenging album to write, and I respect it a lot for that.
And then we get to the final track, Rest Stop, which I just fucking love. That I don't know what it is, a piano glockenspiel, whatever that little melody at the start is. I love it so much. It sounds like something in like a Super Nintendo, like out of a video game, like when you're at like a save point or something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, I love it so much that I'm almost let down by when the song actually starts. And the rest of the song is good, but I just love that start so much. It just kind of hits something really primal. Primal is the wrong word, but you know when like nostalgia hits you and there's that kind of like,
it's really deep. Real deep. Yeah.
Like, I don't know why that hits in a certain way. I almost want a full song out of it. I want it used in a game.
Maybe I'll sample it or something.
Oh, you should.
Do what you want.
Yeah, please do. Actually, that'd be cool. But yeah, I just wish that was more of it. I mean, apparently this is about those kind of rest stops on highways where you kind of stop and reflect and kind of take stock of where you are in life.
Yeah, and it's this weird limbo, those kind of places, because you're not where you've come from and you're not where you're going. It's just like this strange place in the middle.
Which is a great place to end the album, actually, as well. It's just interesting with that whole growing up thing. You're just kind of stuck in the middle.
Yeah, the balance of the pessimism and the optimism. But to me, this one is so surreal to me.
Yeah.
It's intensely specific in how it describes things, but it seems like there's some sort of extra themes that I'm not picking up on. Like, it feels like she's sort of fantasizing about some sort of utopia, like with the outro. So when we walk among the clouds, hold your neighbor close as the trumpets echo round. But it also seems sort of heavenly in some way. So I don't know if it's sort of optimistic or pessimistic.
I don't know either. Like, it ends so strange. It almost freaks me out. I don't know how to describe the sounds. There's like a drill. At one point, there's like this sort of almost like Eastern sonic voice singing. Like, it's weird. I don't like particularly enjoy it. I don't feel resolved by the end of it, but
you're not sure if you're meant to.
It's like such a conscious choice, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they know that they're just throwing a fucking wrench in here at the end.
Yeah,
it's almost like kind of admire just being like so weird and bold with it, especially you know when a lot of the album is so accessible and easily listening, to just kind of
go freaky with
go
it.
Freaky in the end.
Yeah, it's like honestly vaguely unsettling.
Yes, yes, definitely. Especially when it like loops back round and you're like back to the happy place.
Yeah,
exactly. Again. You're like, what? What?
But yeah, I enjoy this one a lot. Even if I can't quite figure out what it means yet, I can't get enough of how the lyricism on this album, of just how precise it is worded. And that's on display here for sure.
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic album. I liked this album before. I'm really glad we did this one because it meant I really took the time to kind of dive into it. And I think there was a lot more in there than I...
Yeah, definitely. 100%. 100%.
Deceptively simple.
Absolutely. Just, I was not... I haven't listened to this album in a good while, and I think I'd only listened to it once or twice before, but this is some, like, quality material.
Yeah, I'm definitely my favourite of their works. Their EP, the Civilization EP, was great, and I'm really excited to see more stuff from them because I love this direction. And
sick.
I think they could still. I think they've got some real interesting stuff ahead of them. They're a real interesting band.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I have no idea why there's such a fan base crossover with Death Grips.
Is that a thing?
Yes, there's videos of Sarah from this band singing I've Seen Footage live, and everyone knows the lyrics.
Are you serious?
Everyone. It's like the polar opposite emotions, but they're both extremes, because Caro Caro Bonito sounds so happy and Death Grips sounds so not happy. So I guess there's something to that, but it's weird.
I need to see that video. That sounds amazing.
And it's a great performance too. Like, thank it looks you for so listening. Fun. We appreciate you all. Good thank stuff. You know.
Bye.
Great album. Listen to this album. We have That's no it. Idea what we're doing next week, so
we'll figure it out soon. Check us out on TikTok. We've got lots of TikToks now.
Yeah.
And help us get more followers.